Well, starting tonight, we'll continue in the book of Zephaniah. If you're in the pew Bibles, I have it marked. I've already forgotten. About page 1359, if you're in the pew Bibles. So we're going to talk about the lesson I've entitled Zephaniah, God's Sacrifice. And this is actually kind of an ironic lesson. It's kind of almost twisted in a way, but in a way that I think is done to make a very valid and important point. From Zephaniah, the first chapter, we read verses 7 through 9. Zephaniah 1, 7 through 9. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guest. And it shall be in that day, or in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such are clothed with foreign apparel. In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. So we're going to talk about God's sacrifice. And it's ironic because the people are supposed to sacrifice to God. But this says the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. So as we get into it, I think you're going to see a little, what my brother used to call an O. Henry twist. There's a little bit of an ironic twist to the story as we look at God's sacrifice here in the book of Zephaniah. Before we go further, though, let's go to God at this time in a word of prayer. Well, I apologize for my voice tonight. I tell you what, Drew was Jake's age when this happened. It was about 8-9 years ago, and I had a complex migraine, and I got put in the hospital. I thought I was having a stroke. I mean, my whole face went numb, and I couldn't think. I couldn't walk, and it got progressively worse overnight. And I thought I was having a stroke, and they hooked me up to all the machines, and it said I wasn't. And they put me on some television camera with some doctor out of Houston, and he said, no, that's not a stroke, that's a complex migraine. And ever since then, I mean, it went away within like 2 days, but ever since then, I lose my voice almost at the drop of a hat. I lose it several times a year. So for whatever reason, this is one of those times. So I will try to do my best, but this is about as loud as I can talk tonight. So it's going to be a short lesson. I don't know if I have too much to make it. So we're looking at the sacrifice. It was said it was the Lord's sacrifice. The Lord had prepared a sacrifice. And that's kind of an ironic thing because we think about God's people preparing a sacrifice for God. But I have a couple questions here that we're going to answer. What is the sacrifice? Number two, who are the guests? It said he invited his guests. So who are the guests that were invited? And number three, why did Judah deserve punishment? So let's begin here in Zephaniah 1, verses 7 through 9. Verse 7 again. It says, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. And as I was going through the commentators in different translations, nearly all of them wanted to make the point that this be silent, this was not just like a get your attention, can you please be quiet? Hush, please. Listen. They said, no, it was a pretty forceful. It was a pretty forceful. You need to pay attention. Be quiet. Quit talking. In fact, most of them said it was the idea of the leaders of God's people were being told to sit down and shut up and listen. It was that powerful. And you got to think who he's talking to here. It's the leaders. These are the highest of the hierarchy. They are not used to being talked to like that. They are not used to having someone tell them to be quiet, shut your mouth, quit talking. But that's what it was. It's a very intense prophecy, and he's getting after them. I put this picture up because I remember, if y'all remember from the election a couple years ago, that at one point in one of the debates, Joe Biden wouldn't answer a question. And so as he was just kind of skirting around the question like politicians do, President Trump wouldn't let him die. And President Trump kept talking over him and interrupting him, saying, answer the question, answer the question. And of course, Joe Biden wouldn't answer the question. And Trump kept after him and kept after him. And finally, Joe Biden said, will you shut up, man? And I remember that because that was a very big deal because people said, how in the world can someone talk to a president, the sitting president of the United States, who would tell them to shut up? Because that's just something that you don't say. Well, it's kind of like that in this book of Zephaniah. He said, be silent. Don't talk. And he is talking to the leaders of the country. And so that's something that they're not used to. They're not used to having this type of language used with them. But you got to remember, God is furious with this people. He is very, very upset for good reason. They failed to keep his commandments. They were worshiping foreign gods. They had committed child sacrifice in the name of religion. They were not inquiring of him. And all of these that I picked up were from the first couple verses in the first chapter of Zephaniah. And that was kind of the lesson that we talked about last time I spoke on Zephaniah. Thinking about what Drew had last Sunday night about the Ten Commandments, they weren't following them. You know, it started with, you have no other gods before me. They broke that one just like that. And so God was upset with them because they were not following his commandments. I'm going to jump up a couple verses. This is verses 4 through 6. This was our last study. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. The names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but also who swear by Milcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. That was namely the priesthood. That was the upper crust of the society. That was the situation of the religious people. Not good. They were idolatrous. They were worshiping foreign gods as Baal. They had pagan priests. They were worshiping stars and the sun and the moon up on the housetops like the nations around them. They swore by Milcom. Remember this picture? That was this one. Where they would take the child and they'd put it on this burning hot altar and sacrifice their children to this foreign god. That's what they were doing. They didn't talk about God. They didn't talk to God. They didn't follow God. They didn't follow his commandments. And so God has finally said, nation of Judah, sit down and shut up and listen to what I have to say to you. And if you don't listen, it's going to get bad. And so it's a very solid prophecy. So continue, verse 7 and 8 again, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is something that Zephaniah is going to reference many, many times. And it has a very deep meaning. And it's one of those things that links throughout the Bible. So I'm looking forward to finally getting to this culminating lesson that's going to be called the Day of the Lord. Because it's something that's talked about the Old Testament, the New Testament. I think there's a future Day of the Lord. But they were about to have their Day of Judgment. And it was going to happen at the hands of a foreign nation. Was going to happen at the nation of Babylon. It says, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such that are clothed with foreign apparel. So here's our first question. What is the sacrifice? Well, in an ironic kind of twist, the sacrifice was going to be the nation of Judah. God was going to sacrifice his own people. He was going to allow his own people to be killed. He was going to allow them to be tortured. He was going to allow them to be run over. He was going to allow some foreign power to come in and destroy them and wipe them out. The nation of Judah was going to be the sacrifice. So it's kind of ironic. God's people were supposed to offer sacrifices unto him. But in a twist of irony, God is now preparing to sacrifice the unholy nation of Judah. He had it with him. Enough was enough. He didn't want to deal anymore with the nation of Judah. This is mentioned several times in the scriptures, this concept of God sacrificing a nation. We don't like to think of it like that, but it's true. Jeremiah 46 and 10, speaking of the judgment on the nation of Egypt. Kind of like we're reading in Ezekiel now. We're reading about Tyre. We're reading about Sidon. We're reading about these different countries and the judgment. Well, Jeremiah talks about the judgment on the nation of Egypt. He says, but this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself on his adversaries. The sword shall devour. It shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts has a sacrifice
in the north country by the river Euphrates. Let's talk about Egypt. He said he was going to sacrifice the nation of Egypt. But now he says, I'm going to sacrifice the nation of Judah. That's going to be the sacrifice.
There's an invitation sent out to the guests to come to this great feast. And I can't help but think about the Lord's parable that we find in Luke chapter 14 about the great feast. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but sometimes I pick up on, after the study of Revelation, sometimes it's an allusion. Sometimes it's a reference. I mean, you can tell it's directly referring to something in the Old Testament. Other times, it's like the opposite. It's something that you know is kind of an allusion, but it's almost twisted on purpose. It's to try to catch people's attention. For an example, I believe it's in the book of Zechariah, it talks about how the man was to go through and put marks on people's heads. Well, if you had the mark, you were safe in that story. You get to Revelation, you have the mark, it was the other one. I mean, so it's kind of interesting. It's just twisted just enough to make you think and catch your attention. So we already have this scene of the sacrifice and the guest being called to this great banquet. What about what Jesus said at the same time? But it's a little bit different twist. Luke 14, verse 16. And he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. That's the song we sing, right? All things are ready. Come to the feast. Verse 18. But they with all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Verse 21, so that servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded and there is still room. And then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. So in the Lord's parable, those that were invited didn't show up, and he had to go find other people. Well, in our story of Zephaniah, the guests are going to show up. The guests are definitely going to show up. My question is, who are the guests? Who are the guests that have been invited? Well, there's basically two schools of thought that I can determine, and really neither is very appealing, at least for the nation of Judah. One, some scholars think that the guests were referring to animals, the carrion, those that were going to come in after a tremendous, devastating battle and eat the carcasses. They were the wild beasts who would come in and clean up. They were the vultures. They were the buzzards that would come in after the fact because there was going to be such death and destruction there in the city of Jerusalem. And so some people think that's who the guests are, that God was going to invite those that would take care of the carrion, the buzzards and the vultures. Now, there are several different references to that. You found, especially in the prophets, I think that's why some people lean that direction. But a second school of thought is, it's just talking about the nations were going to be invited. And it was going to be one nation in particular that was going to be invited. They were the guests. And we read about it in our reading today. It was the nation of Babylon. So we'll look at both of these quickly. I don't know that I can tell you the answer. But neither way, neither of these situations are very good. They both entail that there was going to be death and destruction, and Judah was going to be overwhelmed because of their sins. The concept of the animals, Ezekiel talks about it. There's another reference in Jeremiah, I believe, and Revelation has a reference to it. Let me read you the reference in Revelation. Revelation 19, verses 17 and 18. It says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the upper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And so there's kind of this image here of the angel calling for the birds, the buzzards, the vultures, the hawks, whoever would eat of all of these dead bodies, because there's going to be so much carnage after this battle. And so some people look at that and say, well, that's the guest. That's who he's talking about, that God has invited the vultures and the buzzards because the devastation was going to be overwhelming. Other people say, no, it's probably the nations. And to be honest, I kind of lean this way. It was probably going to be the nations, namely that of Babylon. Jeremiah kind of makes reference to this, of a nation being brought forward. In fact, kind of marked it right here. We read from it today from Ezekiel. Let me turn back to it. I can use my little bookmark here. But you can't find a bookmark, you find a piece of plastic. In Ezekiel chapter 29, which we read today, verse 19, listen to what he said. He said, therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He shall take away her wealth, carry off her spoil, and remove her pillage. And that will be the wages for his army. Now listen to this next verse. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor, because they worked for me, says the Lord God. Babylon worked for God. Babylon was under retainer by God. Babylon, under Nebuchadnezzar, was the Lord's vessel. He was the Lord's servant. And sometimes he would attack the enemies of God's people. He attacked Egypt. Other times, Nebuchadnezzar came right for the nation of Judah. And he was the one that eventually took the nation into captivity. So when I think about who the guests are, I think it's Babylon. I think that's what it's referring to. He invited Babylon because Nebuchadnezzar was working for God. And that's kind of a strange thought. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was a heathen, but he was working for God in the grand scheme of things. I do have this verse from Habakkuk 1 and 6. He says, for indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. God said, I am raising up the Chaldeans. They were working for God. God invited Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to attack. Zephaniah 1 verses 8 through 9. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such are clothed with foreign apparel. In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. So it's not just going to be attacking anybody. I mean, he is specifically punishing, he says, the princes and the king's children. It is the upper hierarchy. It's those that are the leaders of the land. They are going to be punished. He talks about those that are clothed in foreign apparel, those that leap over the threshold. I'll talk about this one in a second. And those who fill houses with violence and deceit. So that idea of clothed in foreign apparel, I get a couple visions of that. One is, they're dressed up pretty fancy. They like to set themselves apart. They're wearing foreign apparel, like an Armani suit, and those all cost money. And so while the regular folk are struggling to survive, the children of the king and the princes, they're walking around in Armani suits because they stole the money. And they're sorry, and they're just bad people. And they're just taking advantage of the poor people. And that may be one way to look at it. Another way to look at it, which probably is more likely, they wanted to be like all the nations around them. They were already worshiping the foreign gods. They were already serving these Milcah and Baal. So if you're going to act like them, you might as well dress like them. And so maybe that's what it was. But he said those that are clothed in foreign apparel. He said, I'm also going to get those that leap over the threshold. I'm pretty sure that is a reference to something that is found in 1 Samuel, the 5th chapter. There's a story about a Philistine god. And this god had an idol. They called him Dagon. Well, anyway, one time, there was old Dagon. The Philistines brought the Ark of God and had it set in the same room as Dagon. That's what they called it, the house of Dagon. So one morning they came in, and that statue of Dagon had fallen, and it crashed. And so they set it up and fixed it and duct taped it and did whatever they needed to. Set that statue of Dagon up again. They came in the next morning, boom, it was face down again. And they said, wait a minute, something's not right. We don't trust this. And then all of a sudden, they started getting all these tumors and things. And so they were really concerned. They're like, we got to get this Ark of the Covenant out of the house of Dagon. But it says, this is kind of interesting, in 1 Samuel 5:5, after that statue of Dagon fell, it said, therefore neither the priest of Dagon nor any who come into Dagon's house tread upon the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. So because he fell, they would get up to a threshold and they'd always step over. They wouldn't touch it. Kind of like an archaic version of step on a crack, break your mama's back. They wouldn't step on the threshold. They would always step over it. And so I guess that's what he's referring to. Those that leap over the threshold, those are the ones who were serving these foreign gods. And he says those who fill houses with violence and deceit. How many of those commandments were they breaking? You know, they were worshiping foreign gods. They put gods before God. They had carved and graven images. I'm sure they were murdering. I'm sure they were full of adultery. I'm sure they were full of everything. That brought nothing but deceit and violence to the houses around them. That's why Judah needed to be punished. So our question is, what is the sacrifice? Well, I think the sacrifice, in an ironic way, was actually the nation of Judah. They were going to be allowed to be taken away by Nebuchadnezzar. Who were the guests? I think it's Babylon. That's where I'm leaning towards. But a lot of scholars think it was in reference to maybe some of the animals that would come in after the battle to clean up, you know, to carry on the dead bodies. Thirdly, why did Judah deserve punishment? I put on here that they were idol worshippers. There's a whole lot more to it than that. They were simply not following God, and they just didn't care. And they had been warned, threatened, counseled, and it didn't matter. They were going to do what they wanted to do. So in conclusion, why do we study this? I mean, we talked about how Zephaniah is probably the best of the least known books. It's not quoted in the New Testament, not exactly per se. I think a lot of the images are. But why in the world is study of Zephaniah important? And I think it's because of this. People need to hear the same message today. Shut up and listen and consider what the Word of God says. And quit worrying about your feelings and quit worrying about how you think about it or what you feel about it or what your emotion says about it. Shut up and listen to what the Word of God says. And we better internalize it and take it. And we better heed the warning. Or else we're going to be no different than the nation of Judah. That we're going to meet our day of the Lord. And it's going to be just as devastating of a rout as it was for them. We need to listen to the Word of God. Well, there's my thoughts for the evening. God's sacrifice. We never have to close out of having a song invitation. We can help in any way. We stand ready.